Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, everyone. This is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very lucky to be speaking with Molly Sweet today. Molly Sweet is the Director of Development for the Community Liver Alliance in Pittsburgh. Did I get it right, Molly?
You got it absolutely perfectly correct.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us and having this discussion.
Well, and you know what I want to do with this podcast in general is you know, the Snapcast is geared towards talking about issues of nonprofit management. And given, you know, current pandemic situations, what I've been trying to do is do special episodes to talk about nonprofits that are contending with the crisis at hand and talk about their struggles and talk about their successes specifically as it relates to pandemic planning. And I was wondering if you could share some information about what Community Liver Alliance is doing in that regard.
Sure. Oh, I'd be happy to, because as you know, as you've just touched upon, many charities and often locally smaller charities, you know, they depend upon these important fundraisers and events to maintain the good work they do in the community. And so everybody has to kind of shift. So what we have done from our nonprofit standpoint here at the Community Liver Alliance is right away, as soon as the crisis was known, we had our messaging out to all of our constituents via all of our credible sources. So the PA Department of Health, CDC, got all of their guidelines out to everyone in our constituency. We did daily updates via our social media, especially anything breaking news that had to do with COVID-19. So that's like the immediate response out to your constituency. And then you have to, of course, as everyone has had to do in this situation, you have to shift to now what is our internal response. Of course, we're going to adhere to all of the guidelines in these are technology and work from home. As a nonprofit of our size, we're small but mighty. We are in more than one state now. I believe it's up to almost seven. I'm counting 9 states that we have some sort of reach into. So all of these events and programs that we do for our providers, for our patients, for the community at large, we now have to be very thoughtful about what is a priority now as everything has changed, and what do we do? We shift these? Do we combine some of these? And we get this information out to the public as soon as possible, because much of our work will be very needed now, especially with people with weakened immune systems and things of that nature. That is what we've done, and that's kind of the stage we're in now. I call it the merge lane, where we're now addressing all of our major events and programs and pivoting to our partners in those programs. What can we do for them? How can we help? You know, we do a lot of culinary events, and we work with a lot of local chefs, many, over 30 chefs, I bet, are in our repertoire. Our biggest fundraising events of the year involve our local chefs. Well, they've been hit the hardest. So we're teaming up with our other partner, Cisco Foods, who's been incredibly philanthropic since this all began, and just helping them. That right now we don't need to talk about our gala. We need to talk about how we can help all of these partners of ours that are hurting so hard. So it's a combination of getting the word out, spreading the message of what we need to do as a healthcare provider platform, and internally trying to keep all the balls in the air and make sure we're doing everything we can for our constituency.
So I was going to ask if the actual mission had taken a hit, and I don't think that's the right way to phrase it. I was, has your mission activities had to be tweaked at all as a result of pandemic?
Oh, sure. So right at the very very beginning of when this all started to crest, I was on my way to a hospital, St. Barnabas University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey, to host a very large signature CLA event called a Chopperation, where we pair a doctor and a chef in a parody, chopped television show, entertaining, networking and learning about a liver health event. And we had well over 200 tickets sold to this event. And that was the first to cancel because it was in the courtyard of the hospital. And so that's now shifted to September. We still didn't fully understand our biggest gala of the year, also a culinary event called Steel Chef Challenge, was scheduled for May 3rd. It's now October 18th. So basically all of our events that we had so beautifully structured throughout the entire year are now going to all pretty much take place in a 2-month period. So you just pivot. You refocus on what matters, on planning, setting your goals, your timelines, and you just shift. And you have to also embrace that a lot of these things might not go as planned. And what can we do in the interim? What type of funding is appropriate to ask for? Know what we qualify to have as a nonprofit, and also what funding from corporations is appropriate to go after, or certain grants maybe you've put off writing. Those types of projects can now come to the forefront as we prepare for all of our signature events that we're now just going to have to shift, like the whole world has had to do. So we've met COVID-19 as it comes at us. We just continue to be nimble to what is necessary to stay relevant, helpful, and on the forefront of people's minds when they think about liver health.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about the external response, change of mission, change of scope of activities a little bit. How about the internal response? What have you had to do inside the shop to respond to this challenge?
Well, you know, here's where this is a good thing. We do a lot, but we are very lean. So in the physical office itself, only our two full-time staff members, myself and our executive director. So we have a lot of folks that help us already from afar that we bring in as a part-time help to help us with the administrative technology, things like that. But really for us to just basically move our offices home wasn't that much of a hardship. We take turns going in and checking the mail and making sure everything's, you know, in shape in the office. But we're really fortunate that it wasn't too hard as far as, it's just more of a mentality shifting as well. And making sure we're trying to have meetings on Zoom and see people's faces and just kind of move with the times, really. But we're lucky we were a small office.
Right. Trying to think of what our next question should be.
No problem. There's lots to talk about.
Right. What has been the most significant difficulty for you so far? Let's ask that.
Probably just the anticipation of what is appropriate and what, you know, always living our mission is who we are. I mean, we try to live our mission across the nation in everything that we touch. We have so many initiatives that spread across so many states that, you know, first of all, you want to just make sure you're being sensitive and appropriate in these times. And then right away were affected. I mean, you know, the CLA leads a PA viral hepatitis elimination plan and a coalition with key stakeholders that we had a meeting all set up for a few weeks back in Harrisburg. And right away that was canceled, which is, we have such momentum started right now with funding with viral hepatitis elimination, which now will be more necessary than ever because we know in these types of situations, opioid use will increase, which will cross-generate into more people with hepatitis C, also with other STDs, AIDS. This will all increase. We know this, so our elimination plan is more important than ever, but right away, Hill Day was canceled. We had to cancel all of our May hepatitis screening activities, screening day activities that we had scheduled. We're trying to create a method to reach out to our legislators via technology, but it's just difficult at this moment. And you're trying to support an elimination budget with the state and be relevant. And it takes all of the wind out of your sails and all of the momentum is gone. So that's just the first thing that pops to mind is the advocacy piece. We have, as I mentioned, when our signature event, our largest fundraiser of the year is our Steel Chef Challenge that was scheduled in May. again, full momentum, going full steam ahead and hitting the brakes, trying to be tactful with our 16 participating local chefs and also secure space later in the year. We had to shift that. I mentioned the Chopperation event. Many programs that we had in the community will be shifted or combined into others. So that's what you do internally, is you try to stay as relevant as possible, but it absolutely is not just affecting us, it's affecting everybody. But you know, with all that we do, our work is so critical for our local constituents that we just do everything we can do to keep the funds coming in a creative manner.
I was going to ask, and you've sort of touched on this already, is that, you know, we're talking about obviously a healthcare cause here, and how does the messaging change when you're approaching your constituency, your partners and your funders? How do you tweak your message so as not to run up against COVID-19 concerns as a healthcare organization that doesn't immediately focus on COVID-19?
Right. Actually, that is exactly what we did right out of the gate. That is our messaging in every form of communication. And that's what we're literally tweaking every day to make sure it's relevant. But we lead with that we are coming from a point of as a healthcare entity, that we are coming up a point of our whole business model is based on this crisis at this time, and following those protocols. So we kind of lead with that, with all of our communication, and then the next messaging is, how can we help you, or how can we work together, or creatively do X, Y, and Z to help one another. That's how it's been going so far, and everyone, you know, is in the same boat in many ways. And so I think it's all about attitude and going about it as I said, living our mission, going about it in the manner in which all of these events were put together. And I think whoever will win in this, Mickey, is going to be whoever can take a deep breath and adapt to change the best. And we all know that is a very hard thing for many people to do. So I'm working on that skill set.
And me too. Change is very hard to do, but I think you're right. It's the only universal constant in this entire debacle, which is the people who will succeed are those who can turn on a dime.
Right. I'm an event planner. I was many of the hats that I wear at the Community Liver Alliance. And prior to that, 20 years in hospitality. So when there is no timeline and plan, it makes people like me go a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it's all in, like I said, being as flexible and as nimble as you can be to the needs, and just meeting the need. Good leads to good, and helping everyone. All of our partnerships are so wonderful to begin with, and they are so organically philanthropic that we're very blessed to be able to share to a broader audience. When we team up with some of our partners, our largest donor and exclusive provider partner of the Steel Chef Challenge is UPMC. More specifically, their transplant services division. And right away, we were in discussions on how we can share the messaging for our chefs, for our Steel Chef Challenge, even throughout the network of possibly UPMC, under the guise of our co-branding event. So everyone's just thinking of creative ways to help one another in their partnerships, which is just so wonderful to see.
That's fantastic. And it sounds like you have good collaborative communication happening to make that easy.
We're so blessed with that. We really are. We have wonderful sponsors.
Yep. What's the leadership challenge within? I mean, you say you run a lean shop. How many folks, I mean, this may not be a fair question, but how many folks do you have, and how does leadership change during these times?
Well, you know, from a nonprofit standpoint, really the leadership that's difficult to manage in a situation like this, it's not so much staff, it's all volunteers. So managing volunteer leadership is a whole another skill set that you have to always remember, this person doesn't have to be doing anything for you. This is not their job. We rely on most of our events being volunteer driven, and really staff supported is the model that we all know successful nonprofits follow. So here I am trying to, you've got this momentum, right? I have the most amazing committee right now for this Steel Chef Challenge, which was our next closest event. And everyone's, you know, on the Google Doc and excited, and we're sharing ideas and we're collaborating with the UPMC and with our patient heroes, and we're going to video them, and it's so exciting, and everything screeches to a halt, and you have to just be able to be nimble and change on a dime with that. So it's, you know, it's been exceedingly challenging for sure to do things like that. But then it said, okay, now all these people are, you know, not at their jobs and they're homeschooling their kids. And is it appropriate for me to ask them to have a meeting with me? So that's taken a lot of thought. And I think we've been very fortunate in being thoughtful about it, which would be my advice to everyone, is just pause and put the shoe on the other foot as to whom you're about to approach. We started with just the chairs of our event. Our two co-chairs, my executive director and myself, had a little powwow, if you will, on Zoom, and just talked about the high points of the event and what would be appropriate for us to do. And then we did have a virtual committee meeting this morning. That was fantastic, seeing everybody's face up on the screen. We then, as the leadership of the event, kind of explained how things were going to go in all of these different departments, asked how anyone could be helped. We got incredible feedback from our partners, our food partners with Cisco. We have the gamut of professional backgrounds on our committee, so everybody had incredible input. We decided to plan a meeting for a month from now virtually, kind of with our action plans and marching orders for the event. And it was really positive. So that's one event out of, what do I have to do, 10, right? So, but that went great. So now I'll probably emulate that model, because we did give it such thought. Now we're reaching out to our confirmed sponsors, our potential sponsors, all of our business partners from the community, making sure our messaging is appropriate to them. We did not knee jerk and start sending out date changes in a haphazard way. I'm glad we did pause and just make sure our messaging is clear. You don't want all of your hard work to go down the drain because you're just trying so hard to do the right thing. Better to do it in a much more succinct manner, which is what the Community Liver Alliance is looking to do. And we've been successful so far with that, I feel. No, there is no rule book at all as to how to approach our situations. So I think everybody has to just be forthright, honest, and do the right thing. I think we've done a very good job with that, and we're still in the midst of it. And it's nice to have something that's important to be working towards. And it's a good distractor anyway from the fact that I have hardly left my house in 3 weeks. I love my job. So it makes it much, much more fun when we are absolutely living our mission and just being as thoughtful as we've been about it.
Right. My last question, and again, it's one we've already sort of touched on, is the split between event-driven fundraising and personal asks, you know, individual asks, major gifts, that sort of thing. Right. How has that changed for you over the last month?
You know, those two departments are really pretty commingled, to be honest with you. Most of our major gifts were given to us through our events and through our programming mm-hmm. and sponsorships and in grants in that regard. We are growing rapidly, but have only been an entity since 2013. So our major gifts department is yet to take its own shape, but we're getting there, which is exciting. Right now, it's kind of all in one bucket for us, but with definite positive growth. I would say that all of the things I mentioned previously in how to go about approaching those relationships is to realize that that is the most important entity now. The most important quality is the relationship and relationship management. Leveraging relationships, I don't like that term, but strong relationship management is where it's at for every part of our business, dealing with your employees, with your volunteers, with your patient advocates, with your provider healthcare partners, your pharmaceutical industry partners, all of our volunteers from the community, all of our business mission partners like Cisco, like UPMC. There's just so many angles to it, and you just want to be thoughtful in approaching them all with your mission forward and your best intentions always.
Molly, this has been excellent. As we end this episode, if a listener should want to contact you, would it be appropriate, and how would they reach you?
Absolutely. They can always reach out to us at www.communityliveralliance.org. And they're always welcome to email me at molly@communityliveralliance.org. I love reading thoughts, emails, and if anybody would have any questions of how we can help them in the community, we're always here to answer.
Fantastic. Thank you, Molly. Thank you for taking the time for doing... Why can't I get the sentence out?
You made me talk a lot, so I probably just sounded the same way.
No, you're doing great. And I'm stumbling over the dismount here.
You're so welcome. Thank you for inviting us to speak on such an important subject.
And to our listener, we appreciate your feedback. If you have any comments or criticisms for us, you can reach me via the nonprofit snapcast.org website. Or on Facebook, just search for Nonprofit Snapcast there. In the meantime, we appreciate your ratings. Your ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. Those ratings help us get more searchable, and we can then be serving more of the nonprofit community. And we appreciate that. So have a great day. Stay safe.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.